Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
What? Oh, sorry, I was sleeping.
I'm sleeping. I figured I'd catch you sleeping.
We've got an answer
for you. I think we can help you.
Excellent.
Over the past several months and years, Mark and I have presented lots of research about cognitive behavioral therapy. We've talked about CBT for depression and anxiety and PTSD and eating disorders and back pain and even smoking. Well, today we're going to look at CBT and its role in fatigue and insomnia. Just a quick background, cognitive behavioral therapy is one of several well-described types of behavioral therapies. It's time-limited. It's not analysis. You don't spend years and years on the couch. The core is that the clinician, and often it's a psychologist or social worker, but sometimes it can be a primary care doctor, helps the patient identify and correct distorted or maladaptive beliefs. Behavioral therapy of this sort uses sort of thought exercises and real experiences to facilitate symptom reduction and improve functioning. CBT, when it's used properly, includes education, often relaxation exercises, coping skills training, stress management, and perhaps even assertiveness training, depending on what it's being used for. Individuals for whom cognitive behavioral therapy works best are those who are highly motivated. Not surprising, a lot of our medicines and treatments work best for people that are motivated. They value a problem-solving approach that requires the patient to learn a set of skills and observations as opposed to a quick fix, such as a drug or something. We're today going to look at people that have chronic insomnia, where this kind of therapy has huge advantages over pharmacotherapy. Mark's found an article. It comes from the Annals of Internal Medicine.
Excellent.
Thank you. Yes, I'm a quick learner. No disrespect to the Annals of Family Medicine, but this one's from the Annals of Internal Medicine. It was published in 2015 in volume 163, and it starts on page 191. It asks the question, how effective is CBT for patients with chronic insomnia? What did they find, Mark?
Yeah, this is a nice study. They did a systematic review to try to find all of the studies in the literature of using CBT for insomnia, and they found 20 studies with just over 1,100 patients. And the CBT used in the studies had to have at least 3 of 5 components. And so the components are, the first one is cognitive therapy, aimed at these dysfunctional beliefs and attitudes towards sleep and insomnia, normalizing some of these things, or, you know, helping people to avoid triggers or recognize triggers that can lead to insomnia. Stimulus control, so avoiding non-sleep activities in the bedroom, you know, the television, the bright light, things like that. Sleep restriction, limiting time in bed to match the perceived sleep duration to assure that more than 85% of time spent in bed was actually spent sleeping. I don't know about you, but when I talk to patients and they're having trouble sleeping, you know, first thing I ask is, so when do you go to bed and when do you get up? And, you know, are you napping during the day? Kind of get a sense of that. And I'm always surprised. I mean, I'm somebody who goes to bed around 12:30 or 1 and gets up around 7 or so, and or 1 or 1:30 and 7. And then I hear people go to bed at 8:30 or 9 and get out of bed at 7 or 8 o'clock, and they're wondering why they can't sleep 12 hours. So I think some sort of realistic
perspective.
That's a little bit long. You probably only need, 7 or 8 hours of sleep, so maybe you should be in bed for 7 or 8 hours. Sleep hygiene, so scheduling sleep at a regular time, not napping, avoiding alcohol, caffeine, nicotine, and then relaxation techniques, meditation, mindfulness, and that kind of thing. So it had to have at least 3 of those 5 to make it into the study. And they compared it to some other kind of inactive treatment in each of the studies. Well-done study. They had a couple of investigators evaluating all the studies. And the quality of the studies wasn't great. Most of the time, that's because the study couldn't be or wasn't masked or blinded. which would be, you know, obviously difficult to do. There was significant heterogeneity for some of the results, but good homogeneity for others. So that means the studies found kind of the same thing. Compared with inactive treatments, onset of sleep was about 20 minutes sooner in the CBT group. The minutes spent awake after first falling asleep were significantly fewer. So they had about 26 minutes less of awake tossing and turning after they first fell asleep. The overall sleep time, interestingly, didn't change significantly with the treatment, but the quality of that sleep time was better. They got to sleep sooner and they woke up less often. And some of the studies did look at, you know, how often did this persist, and they found that it did persist after completing the active therapy phase. So bottom line is, cognitive behavioral therapy built around these five components can, at least, you know, in the short to moderate term, get people to fall asleep faster and stay asleep. And these are, you know, this is common sense kind of advice. And so I think it's a good reminder for us, and it's good to think about these five components with our patients.
Yeah, I mean, it is it's an important problem. And, you know, lots of us have worries about regularly prescribing sleepers for patients. So this is a great, and, you know, sleep hygiene, which we've all been taught about, you know, patients sort of roll their eyes. And so this seems like a nice middle road. It's five concrete steps. You know, they seem achievable. And as you say, there's some evidence that they actually work.
And I'll tell you some, you know, some other, you probably have things you, you know, have, you tell your patients, and, you know, certainly asking about the mattress, okay, asking about their sleep situation, you know, we've made the decision to kick our golden retrievers out of bed, and I'm sleeping much better now that I don't have two 80-pound golden retrievers stretching and kicking me all night. You know, things like, some people find an eye mask can be very helpful at keeping the ambient light down, things like that. Sometimes earplugs, if the partner is a snorer, you know, some of those things that are things you can ask your patients about or suggest.
Right. Just have to be careful how far you're going to go and how much detail you want to know. But
yeah, exactly.
Those were all very good suggestions. Thanks, Mark. Have a good night's sleep, and we'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.